Next on BYUSN, what are our expectations for Yegor Demin in the NBA draft? And does it matter if he's a lottery pick? We react to where Yegor lands in the latest mock drafts. His head coach, Kevin Young, has accomplished a lot since taking over in the last year. But what is his most impressive accomplishment in the last 365 days? We'll discuss.
Speaking of accomplishments, how about Jimmer Fredette? He details his recent retirement and his new role with USA Basketball as the managing director of the men's 3x3 team. And BYU Women's Hoops head coach Lee Kamard breaks down his first month as head coach and what he likes about BYU's roster.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, April 30th, the April finale, if you will. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is bringing defunk. He is also BYU football's calendar operator, Jason Shepherd.
Look, we are, what? You mentioned the 30th.
Yes.
What happens on August 30th?
I see where you're going with
this.
See,
BYU football posted a video with the caption, "Here's your plans."
Come on.
For August 30th. You don't even need to worry about what you're doing that day.
No, you're locked
BYU
in.
BYU football opens up the season August 30th against Portland State in how many days?
Countdown to the Vikings.
122 days away. Yes, 4 months to the day, but there also happened to be 122 days in that span. How about that?
Oh, yeah, there's football. It's coming up.
We understandably have been so caught up in everything that's going on with the BYU basketball world right now. It has dominated headlines, but we are 4 months out from the follow-up season to a team that went 11-2 and was as high as number 6 in the college football playoff rankings, and the team has even higher goals this year, Jason.
I am so anxious. We're not going to get into this today. I am so anxious to find out where they fall in the preseason poll. I want to know how serious the conference is taking BYU.
Yeah, also the conference poll specifically, and then the national rankings.
Yeah.
Does the AP poll respect BYU? Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah,
wait.
Let's go.
There's no off season.
That's right.
There's no off season. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We essentially have an NBA front office that's been scouting players really since the day we stepped foot here.
It's a blessing to play in any team in NBA.
We're being really calculated about how we put this team together.
Yegor Demin, headed to the NBA.
Can't wait to watch him for 10 plus years in the league.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU's Yegor Demin is about to make history. He could potentially be the first lottery pick ever from the entire country of Russia. I know that it doesn't really matter if he's in the lottery pick, or in the lottery, I should say, or does it, okay? So we know this, Jason. He's going to be BYU's first NBA draft pick in general since Jimmer Fredette back in 2011. Here is where Yegor is projected to land in the latest recent mock drafts, beginning with CBS Sports. Interesting, not as favorable as some of the others that we've seen. 17th to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Bleacher Report has Yegor going 18th to Washington, and Sports Illustrated is in line with Bleacher Report. They, too, think number 18 to Washington. Draft happens on June 25th and June 26th in Brooklyn, New York. So with these modest expectations compared to what we saw a few weeks ago, which had Yegor going as a lottery pick, what are your expectations for him in this year's NBA draft?
Yeah, it is interesting that this certainly is the trend, not just with these mock drafts, but even the normal conversations when people talk about the upcoming NBA draft as it pertains to Yegor, is that he's now moved outside of the lottery. I certainly think that that is possible, that that could happen. My range for him is probably 12 to 18. I think he probably goes there. I still believe when Yegor goes in for his individual workouts, number one, the teams are going to fall in love with the type of guy he is, that this is not someone that is going to embarrass your franchise. This is someone that is going to represent whichever team he plays for with the utmost respect and give it everything he's got, I think his workouts then will also impress in a one-on-one situation. So I still think late lottery makes the most sense right now. But anywhere between 12 and 18, I think, is probably where he goes. And look, selfishly, like I want him to go as high as he can, because obviously that means more money for him. And, you know, there's a certain, I don't want to say pride with it, but the higher you go, there's something to be said for that. The higher you go in the lottery, and
listen,
the higher
he's got some huge Russian people behind him, like they know what he's about.
100%.
They want him to make history and be the first lottery pick ever.
If for some reason he does, you know, end up going in that 16, 17, 18. Look, our hometown Utah Jazz have the 21st pick thanks to the Rudy Gobert trade. If the Jazz could somehow move up a couple of spots and get him late in the teens, I would absolutely love that. So, again, my expectations are probably late lottery, but anywhere between 12 and 18 is kind of right now what I expect.
Okay. I'm going to give you some other notable mock drafts that I referenced, which were better for Yegor. ESPN had him number 12 to the Chicago Bulls. Fox Sports had him going number 13 to the Atlanta Hawks. And Yahoo Sports had him going number 13 to the Mavericks. So apparently Fox Sports and Yahoo think that there are going to be some wheeling and dealing happening with those picks, because those teams at number 13 are different. But the point is, those three think he is inside the lottery. So if we do the math, and we come up with a consensus number from these six mock drafts, it has Yegor at number 15, which is one spot outside of the 14th pick to end the lottery. Okay, so he's one spot outside of the lottery. My expectations are that he's not going to fall into the bottom half of the first round. So I do think he will be a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
I believe that. I think there's too much upside.
Yeah.
I know he's young, and he only played 1 year at BYU, and he is an international star. But if there's something I've learned from NBA drafts, it's that if you're going to take a leap on somebody, typically GMs are more likely to take a leap on an international player that has already played at a professional level. He was with Real Madrid.
Right.
Hey, like, the development has been happening for a long time, and there's still a huge room, or a lot of room to grow. There's a high ceiling for Yegor. So I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody, quote unquote, reach on him a little bit and take him 10, 11, 12. My range, you said 12 to 18. Mine's a little smaller. I'm 11 to 15.
Okay.
So not too far off from you. I just, it's happened so many times. I've seen it with international players year after year after year. The words reach, but this is a guy that's been developing and playing in a professional environment in Europe. That matters a lot for good reason.
Right. Well, here's the other part that we got to see up close and personal last year. What Yegor brings to the table that has nothing to do with shooting or turnovers is size and feel of the game.
Jason, how did he play the back half of the season? How did he play the last 10 games of the season?
Turnovers went down, shooting numbers went up.
Trajectory matters.
Those are the only two things right now that people are talking about that he's got to be able to be a better three-point shooter specifically, and he's got to cut down on the turnovers. As to your point, and it's spot on, as the season progressed, and especially down the stretch, when it mattered most, those two aspects significantly improved. That's why I think when he gets in these workouts, teams not only are going to fall in love with him, but they're going to see the work he's put in, and I think those shooting numbers. But you talked about guys willing to quote-unquote reach. If you're going to roll the dice on somebody, you're always going to roll the dice on somebody with size. That's the way the league is now. The fact that you could draft a 6'9 point guard who can find anybody on the floor at a moment's notice.
He's the best passer in the draft.
100%. That alone, to me, says he should be in the lottery, regardless.
And his character is only helping that.
100%. So the things that have nothing to do with shooting or turnovers, he's already got in size and his ability to pass and see the floor.
You want a team guy. You want a guy who's not going to create any headaches for you. As well as that 6'9 frame and being the best passer in the draft and trending the right way. Generally speaking, the games that mattered the most in BYU's season, which Yegor was involved in, were Yegor's best. They were the best. The big games as BYU went on that 8-game win streak to close out regular season play in conference, Yegor was playing good basketball. In the Big 12 Conference Tournament, for the most part, some of his best basketball. Certainly, he turned it on in the NCAA tournament, which is why so many national pundits were like, wow, he's coming into his own. He's starting to find a groove. Now it's just a matter of, is he going to stay with Kevin Young and try and develop one more year at the collegiate level, or is he going to go pro? He opted to go pro, but the fact remains, the ceiling is still there. So, again, I use the word reach delicately, but I think that it's just more likely to happen because of his upbringing, Jason, and the lack of headaches that he causes and the culture that he will help. Like, he will help any team culture. Like, Yegor is that guy. He brings so much joy and passion and dedication to the game. I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him end up in the lottery.
Okay, so very, very quick, because we want to move on to a different topic. Real quick, does it matter if he's a lottery pick?
I think it matters to Yegor. I think there is something associated with, because Rush has never had a lottery pick, and I think he's earned the right to be the first Russian to be selected as an NBA draft lottery pick. So I think it does matter. Yeah. Like, there is a measure of, like, history and accomplishment and pride. I hope it happens for all of those reasons. Ultimately, no. It's about fit in the NBA.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
It's about fit. Ask Jimmer Fredette about it. Ask so many college stars who didn't find the right fit and watch their NBA careers unfortunately come to a close way too soon. And they're buried down the bench and it just never got going. It's about fit. That's what matters the most. But there, for him, I hope it happens. And I hope it happens for the country of Russia.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think big picture, it doesn't matter. But I want this for him. I feel he's earned this. He deserves this. And boy, if he can do that for his country and have that notoriety and be the first Russian to be drafted in the lottery, what a feather in his cap and something to be very, very proud of. And so I certainly hope. And for him, I agree with you. I think for him, it does matter, but not in a selfish way.
Yeah.
But I think it does matter for him. All right.
Hey, Yegor's head coach Kevin Young has been doing good work as well.
100%. He has accomplished a lot in his time as the head coach in just over a year. Let's look at some of the notable things that Coach Young has accomplished in his first year.
Including bringing Yegor to BYU.
Absolutely. You've got the Sweet 16 appearance. You've got the first round of 64 win in 14 years. Third place finish in the Big 12 with 14 wins. Wow. 26 wins, which was a BYU record for a first-year head coach. And obviously finishing the year in the AP poll ranked number 13. So, of all of those accomplishments, and there's more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What is the most impressive thing that Coach Young has accomplished as BYU's head coach so far?
Well, it's hard not to get lost in the current moment of A.J. DeBonta being on campus. The number one overall recruit is now officially enrolled in classes at BYU. It's happening. And he's part of the number two overall rated recruiting class in all of college basketball, trailing only fellow Big 12 competitor Houston, who was at number one, and ahead of Kentucky. Those things are wild, Jason. But can we just step back for a second and realize what Kevin Young did with this team on the actual basketball court last year in his first year? He took BYU to the Sweet 16. BYU was picked to finish ninth in the Big 12. They finished in a tie for third. They're the number 13 team in the country when the final polls closed. He took BYU to a Sweet 16 for only the third time ever in the modern era. It took the National Player of the Year the previous two times for BYU to get to the Sweet 16 in Danny Ainge and Jimmer Fredette. It's just the ability for him to transition in so quickly and get this team to buy in to stacking days and to fully embrace the team concept of what his vision was. It took a while, and I told everybody, give it time. It's going to be weird. And it got weird. There were some weird times early in the season. People were like, what the heck's going on? They're going to make the tournament? Not only did they make the tournament, they got their first NCAA tournament win in the round of 64 since Jimmer Fredette, and then again to the Sweet 16. So for me, it's what you actually have accomplished on the basketball floor when you look back at the last year. I know recruiting is the lifeblood of a program, and there's wild momentum there, and it is super exciting to think about what BYU could be. But we're talking about accomplishments. What did he already do?
Yeah.
He took BYU to the Sweet 16 for the third time ever. And I know people are like, well, in the 50s. Nope. In the modern era, in the NCAA tournament as it is currently constituted, he got BYU to a Sweet 16 when they were supposed to finish ninth in the Big 12. It wasn't supposed to happen this fast. He did it. That's where I'm answering that question.
Okay, so we're kind of on the same lines, but I'm going to take a little bit more broad look at it.
Okay.
I agree with you. It's the Sweet 16. It's all of the things that we mentioned as accomplishments, but all of them are a byproduct of one thing, and it's the most important thing in sports: winning.
Okay.
He won. That's the most impressive thing he did.
26 times.
He won. And because he won, BYU finishes ranked 13th in the AP poll. Because he was winning, he lands the number one recruit in A.J. DeBonta. Because BYU won, he's able to retain a player like Richie Saunders. Because they won, Yegor Demon, we hope, is a lottery pick. Certainly is going to be a high first-round draft pick. Because BYU won, they have the number two recruiting class because players want to be a part of this because it's a winning program. He has shown that he can win here at BYU at the highest level. So to me, all of those things are because he showed he could win.
There are no wrong answers. And that's the beauty of this. Like, you could pick any of those. It's like, I get it. I get why you feel that way, why you feel like that's the greatest accomplishment. But I like your answer. The all-encompassing idea of just winning games, and that breeds a winning culture and all the momentum that goes along with it. I'm not trying to undersell that Kevin Young just brought in the greatest recruiting class in BYU athletics history. This isn't just for basketball. This is, let's be honest, in any sport. Ever at BYU, ever. This is the greatest recruiting class that we have ever seen in a single season for one sport. It's not close. Led by the number one overall player in the country. But it's back to back now. You want to talk about stacking days? Kevin Young and his staff and his brother Justin Young and all the assistant coaches from top down, every position, they're all stacking days to create this Provo scenario, emphasis on the pro, and this NBA boot camp.
Right.
It's unbelievable. They've made history with this class. But it's you got to go out and win games, and that's exactly what he did. I mean, when you go to the Sweet 16 in your first year as a head coach and you're picked to finish ninth in your conference, and people are asking in December, like, is BYU even going to make the tournament? Is this an NIT team? My gosh, how fast did that team gel together and make it an unforgettable season?
Yeah.
Oh, it just makes you wonder, what are they capable of next?
Can we just do an impromptu countdown to the basketball season, too? If we knew the days, we would.
I think that we know the day for the first game. I don't know
if we can work on that for tomorrow,
announced.
Too.
Yeah. It's early November, so we can
work on that tomorrow.
We can get that. We're 122 days from August 30th. We're probably, like, I don't know, 190-ish days away from the basketball season.
Maybe tomorrow we'll do a basketball countdown.
Okay. Our question of the day. What do you think is the most impressive thing Kevin Young has accomplished as BYU's head coach so far? At Will McAllister 43 on Instagram says, landing the number one basketball recruit to BYU. There's real power in that because the entire nation saw A.J. DeBonta tell Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to BYU. And all of the waves that created, and then You want to think about why BYU has the roster they have right now, why Rob Wright III is the point guard, and these other high-level transfers are coming in. Richie Saunders is coming back. Like, you maintain a core of five or six key players. You can largely look at, like, that.
Yeah.
Like, well, we want to be as part of this that you bring in with the number one overall recruit. Josh Cann on Instagram answers, Sweet 16. Winning as a team is all that matters. Has your keyword in there. Winning.
That's right. It's all about winning.
He got to the Sweet 16. That actually happened. That's been accomplished. You know, the recruiting, yeah, it's been accomplished. We haven't seen them play together yet. They actually went to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
BYU Sports Nation going to be live once again. We've got a fan fest coming up in Idaho Falls. We'll be at Freeman Park coming up on Saturday, featuring guests from BYU football, women's basketball, and more. That's at 1 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, the great Jimmer Fredette joins the show to discuss his decision to retire from basketball and now his new role as managing director of USA Men's 3x3 Basketball. He's already hard at work. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Legend Jimmer Fredette announced he has been named the first managing director of USA Basketball's 3x3 men's national team.
There's Fredette.
He transcended the sport for so many reasons. His name is a verb.
Jimmer Fredette.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. Hope you're enjoying your day alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Joining us now, as promised earlier in the show, is the new managing director of USA Men's Basketball and their 3x3 team. He is the great Jimmer Fredette. Hey, coach or director or whatever you want us to call you, what would you prefer we refer to you as now, Jimmer?
Yeah, doctor. I don't know.
Is this doctor, give me a doctor Fredette.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But just a great time to be here with you guys. But yeah, it's a managing director role. Luckily, I don't have to actually coach. I'll pick the coach, but I will. I'll stay out of that and just kind of pick the players, coaches, do all those things. So it's a lot of fun.
So no chance of a managing director / coach / player. We're not going to get all that.
Well, I was thinking I might pull a Jackie Moon, if you're familiar with semi-pro, the boot. So if I can play and can manage and can coach and GM and do all of it, I might have to call myself in at some point.
Fair point. Jimmer Fredette is on BYU Sports Nation. Why did you feel like this was the right time for you to step away officially from actually playing and then get into this new directorial job and function and leading a 3x3 program?
Yeah, for me, obviously after the Olympics, my intention was to retire, you know, kind of no matter what. But then I thought about it and was thinking about making a return because I didn't know if I wanted to go out on that note. And as I got about 5 months into my rehab, you know, I just wasn't really missing the daily grind of basketball. And for me, that's something that I loved. You know, I always wanted to get out there and work out and be better. And if I wasn't like prepared and ready to do that, then it was probably a good sign that it was time to be done. And I remember getting a call from the director of 3x3, Jay Demings, several months after the Olympics, were like, hey, what are you going to do? And do you want to keep playing? And obviously, if you want to keep playing, we spot for you. And like, let me think about it. And, you know, after thinking about it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, Jay. Like, I just decided that this is a good time to break off. I'm packed with a family. I'm enjoying being home and not having to work out as hard as I can every single day. So he came to me, he was like, well, we have a new position that we're going to open up for 3x3 basketball. We think you'd be perfect for it. Would you be interested in being the managing director? He's like, we got approval from the board and they think you would do a great job. And first thought it was like, man, like what an honor and a responsibility to be able to be a part of USA Basketball as a managing director. You know, it's Grant Hill on the 5-on-5 side. And that's when you think of USA Basketball, you think of the best basketball players in the world and you think about gold medals and you think about winning everything, right? That's what they expect. So there's a lot to shoulder. But at the same time, I'm really excited because I love the sport. I love the people involved. And I think there's a lot that we can do to continue to grow the sport here in the U.S. and continue to show people what it is and go moving into, obviously, 2028 Olympics.
Jimmer, what is the job description? You hear managing director. What does that entail? What are your responsibilities as the managing director?
Yeah, so I do quite a few things, right? So, you know, FIBA has a whole world tour that we play on. So I'm in charge of getting those teams together, making the schedule for those teams, picking the teams that are actually going to go to which tournament, you know, making sure that we're in all the right challengers and masters and all of these different things, and then pair that up with all the international events. So I'll pick all the teams for the World Cups, for AmeriCups, Champions Cups, for the Pan Am Games. I'll pick the team for the Olympics, and I'll pick all the coaching staff as well for all of those as well, and be able to, you know, handle back channel logistics and all different things. So there's quite a few things that you have to do, and it's kind of a year-round thing for the managing director of 3x3. So there's a lot involved, but I was up for the task. I kind of have been doing it the last 2 years and understand the point system that goes on, and it's a very intricate point system, but understand the game, understand the players that I think could do well, and understand the scheduling and all those things, because we've kind of been doing that together as a group for the last couple of years. So I feel like I'm prepared for it, but at the same time, understanding I'm using a different muscle of my brain as I'm watching games and I'm watching players and coaches to understand what I need to do to put the right team together for each individual event, and then obviously international events.
Jimmer Fredette, an Olympian, and now the managing director of USA Men's Basketball 3x3, is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go back to the day that you announced your official retirement and just the overwhelming reception that poured in from across general media and certainly social media. What was that like for you, Jimmer, as you made it official that you're done with basketball, to see all of the support and all of the shout outs from so many people?
Yeah, honestly, it was an extremely special day. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect when I announced the retirement. You know, I didn't know if I was going to, how big of a deal it was going to be. You know, I know that there are a ton of people out there that were supported me. So I figured I'd, you know, get reached out to people that have, you know, been with me throughout my career. But to see like the outpouring of support from a ton of different teammates that I've been with throughout my whole career in China and in Europe and the NBA and high school and in college, you know, was really special and pretty incredible. And then just to have it kind of go viral and go everywhere and, you know, just reminisce on the days of playing, it was really special. It's one thing that I felt like I've kind of been retired for the last 8 months, because I've been kind of rehabbing, not actually playing, and kind of been in that mindset. But it's a different thing when you add to the world. Like that's a whole different shift. And I think that you know, kind of set in the last couple of days looking back. But it's been an incredible reception. I truly appreciate all the support and fans that I've had throughout my whole career, because it's been some up and down moments, but ultimately it's been incredible, and it's been a very successful career, and I wouldn't change anything. I'm just you know, so grateful for that opportunity, and BYU is a huge part of it.
One of the things, Jimmer, that I think is really cool is there is a certain generation of BYU fans that they know BYU basketball because of you, and there are a lot of people who are not BYU fans that don't live in the area, and the only reason they know BYU is because of you. What has BYU meant to you? And maybe we could spend the rest of the interview answering that, because it's probably a lot. But what has BYU basketball meant to you personally, and as you have gone through your life?
Yeah, you know, when I first got to BYU, I'm, you know, a small town kid from upstate New York, didn't know much about BYU, just knew that I wanted to go play basketball there for Coach Rose. And once I got there, I just realized that it was a special place. You know, Provo itself is a really cool town. But the school itself, just the people involved and my teammates specifically, were just amazing. They just brought me in as a brother, and taught me how to be a good person, how to be a good member of the church. How to be someone who treats people the right way, but also works hard and doesn't just have things given to them. And I thought that was something that Coach Rose and the staff really did a good job of teaching all their players of how to be men and how to be good people off the floor, and then how to work hard and get better on the court and, you know, try to reach their potential. So there were so many life lessons that I learned, so many amazing friends that I still have to this day that I've met at BYU, just life-changing moments, life-changing experience, both physically and on the court and also spiritually. So for me, it's kind of molded me into the person that I am today. And, you know, it truly is go on and serve. And that's what I've tried to do in my capacity of basketball player and also just trying to be a good person and a person that loves Christ and doing the right stuff. So it's just been, it's such a special time. And, you know, obviously the biggest thing is, you know, I met my wife there, Whitney, and, you know, that's the most important thing. I think she's listening right now. At least she told me she was going to be listening. So we'll see if she is, but, shout out to Whitney.
Yeah. Well said. Jimmer Fredette on BYU Sports Nation. I know you've been asked this question a million times, and in fact, I've probably asked it a few times myself, but just for the sake of looking back on your basketball career, and I'm going to ask this kind of as a double-barreled question, but what's your favorite basketball memory at BYU, and then one from your professional career, which spanned several continents and multiple countries?
Yeah. I'm going to give you two at BYU because I can't just do one. First one was Sweet 16, just winning that game against Gonzaga and making it to the Sweet 16, probably my favorite memory. And I mean, it's just something that BYU hadn't done in a long time. And to be able to kind of reach that goal, get the monkey off our backs, be able to have that experience with my teammates and all of BYU Nation, specifically because it was such a hyped year and we had played so well, and be able to at least, you know, make it to the Sweet 16 and feel like it was pretty successful was pretty outstanding. Second time was when I played in Glens Falls, my senior year at Glens Falls Civic Center. I never thought I would play in the Glens Falls Civic Center ever again after the state championship. So, I mean, that was unbelievable to see the outpouring of support from all of the town in Glens Falls. And obviously it was unbelievably packed and, you know, so many people outside that wanted to get in that couldn't get in. So those are my two favorite memories, you know, from BYU, just super, super fun times. You know, professionally, had so many great memories. One that sticks out was my career high in the NBA, playing against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. It's my favorite place in the world to play. The energy and the atmosphere is just so different than any other arena. And I was able to do that in front of a lot of friends and family that came down and watched, to be able to have kind of that game and made six threes that game and kind of just felt like myself out there. That was really super fun to be able to do. And then just China as a whole was a great experience. You know, the 70 point games, all those different things were fun. And then lastly, you know, playing 3x3 and the Olympics was obviously short-lived, but an amazing experience. And the Vienna World Cup in 2023 was one of my favorite times I've ever had playing basketball, to be honest with you. It was one of the most well-done events and just tons of people there. And it was just energetic and really, really cool basketball.
Let's bring the conversation to the team right now. And it's almost overwhelming the amount of accomplishments that Coach Young has been able to do in a year's time since taking over the BYU basketball program. We were talking about this in the previous segment. What do you think is the most impressive thing that Coach Young has done in his first year as the head coach?
Well, I mean, the most impressive thing was being able to, you know, be top three in the Big 12 when he was picked, you know, bottom 10 or so, and then be able to make a Sweet 16 run this year. You know, people kind of thought that it was going to be next year, you know, that he was going to have all that success and be able to do well. But this season, he was like, no, we have a really good team and we're, you know, may take some bumps in the beginning, but by the end of it, we're going to be really good. And that's a testament to the coaching staff and himself for, you know, getting these guys to believe in themselves and find the right roles and, you know, find who are the people that he needed to play on a consistent basis and the right lineups. So by the end of the season, they were cooking, playing extremely well and one of the best teams in the country. And to see that evolution from the beginning of the year to the end of the year is something that is really, really impressive. And that's something that I think he brought from the NBA. It's like, you want to, you know, make sure that you're clicking on all cylinders when you're going into the playoffs. And I think that's how he sees it. You don't want to be clicking on all cylinders as you're going into the NCAA tournament time and the Big 12 tournament time. So to have that mindset and understanding, you may take some bumps, but you got to find out what you have. So I thought that was extremely impressive. obviously his recruiting is, you know, the best we've ever seen at BYU. It's not even close at this point. So it's impressive what he's done on the recruiting side with five stars coming in. And now it's about, you know, finding the right roles for this team, you know, cause it's a whole pretty much a whole new group. There's a few guys that stayed. Richie staying obviously is huge for the team, but it's going to be finding those roles for this guy, and it'll be the same type of thing. But by the end of the year, you're going to see this team be extremely good and, you know, be contenders, I think.
Jimmer, it's always great to talk with you. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished and everything you're about to accomplish with USA Basketball. You're a special example of faith in sports, and we're pleased to connect with you whenever we can. Good luck in Phoenix, where you are now, with the developing situation, and let's do it again soon.
Yo, if you're in Phoenix, make sure you come check out the event, Arizona Athletic Grounds. Let's go.
Let's go. Jimmer for Dex.
Jimmer.
BYU Sports Nation. Thank you.
Great stuff. All right, if you missed any of our interviews from the St. George Fan Fest last weekend, including interviews with Jake Retzlaff, Isaiah Glasker, and Jack Kelly, you can always find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
Still on the way, multiple BYU football players inked their next deals, but with which teams? Plus, BYU's track and field squads moved up how many spots in the national rankings? Headlines on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jason Shepherd. Let's roll out today's headlines.
We are just under 2 months away from the NBA draft. It's one of my favorite points of the year in sports. BYU point guard, speaking of, Yegor Demin, was featured in three prominent mock drafts recently. CBS Sports had him going 17th overall to Minnesota.
Too low.
And Bleacher Report and Sports Illustrated both had him going to the Wizards at pick number 18. The NBA draft will be held from June 25th through the 26th at Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
In the NFL, yesterday, former BYU quarterback Jaren Hall was waived by the Seattle Seahawks. Hall signed with the Seahawks in September of 2024 and was on their practice squad. We'll see what the future holds for Jaren Hall's football career.
BYU wide receiver Darius Lassiter signed an undrafted free agent deal yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lassiter is the fifth BYU player to sign an undrafted free agent contract since Saturday. He had previously received a minicamp invite with the Philadelphia Eagles.
BYU football defensive end Isaiah Banya, drafted in the second round of the Canadian Football League draft by the Hamilton Tiger Cats last night. Banya played 25 games for BYU, totaling 52 tackles and 3.5 tackles for loss.
BYU's track and field teams climbed the USTF CCCA rankings this week. The women's team jumped 6 spots to number 7 overall, while the men's team moved up 1 spot to number 12. Both teams are competing in BYU's Robinson Invitational beginning today through Friday.
On the Major League Baseball front, Daniel Schneeman, former BYU Batcat, went 1-for-3 for the Cleveland Guardians with a double, got the start at second base for Cleveland in a 2-1 win over the Minnesota Twins. Hey, it's been 30 days since the great Lee Kamard was hired as the new BYU women's basketball head coach. He joins us next to discuss his first month on the job. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Right now, that's what I'm solely focused on, is driving what this is going to look like for the group, who is going to be a part of this, going to be really stingy about the culture or the BYU way. The girls know that. And I think with all that, I'm ready to get to work.
Hey, we're ready to get to work. Back in Studio B, we have moved over to the Cougar Council Room and welcome in BYU Women's Basketball Head Coach Lee Kamard, who is now 1 month into the job. Lee, welcome back to the show.
It's good. Always good to be with you guys. It's been a busy month.
Yes, it has. In fact, how would you summarize the first 30 days officially on the job as head coach?
You know, usually April used to be a nice, pretty slow month. With the new position and then with the transfer portal, it's been quite hectic, but it's been good. Feel good about things.
What has been the biggest surprise or biggest challenge in this new role in such a short period of time?
I mean, right when it started, the portal was as busy as it has been, and now it's kind of teetering out a little bit. But from the moment I mean, from the press conference, we already had a portal kid on campus, and for the first, you know, 3 weeks of that, it was seemed like we had somebody here every day or every other day, and just hosting and, you know, trying to tell them what we have to offer and how they fit with us was hectic. And then kind of scheduling and piecing together what we want to do in the spring and summer and how it fits for our girls. And it's been good, though.
What do you feel like is the most notable accomplishment that has happened for you and the staff in the first 30 days?
Yeah, I think just, kind of solidifying the roster a little bit more. There was a lot of uncertainty for the current players and or missionaries or, you know, what our needs were out of the portal. And I hang my give credit to the staff. I think we've done a pretty good job kind of solidifying that. There's still a few little I's that we need to dot and T's that we need to cross. But so far, it's we're in a good place.
What was the conversation like with Sister Kaylee Woolston, who happens to be one of the best three-point shooters in the entire country, who is serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, it was a great conversation. She was given permission to have 1 hour on a phone conversation or a Zoom. It was actually on Facebook Messenger Live, whatever it's called. And wanted to know, hey, where is this headed? What's your vision for the program? How do I fit into it? And had some specific questions that she wanted to ask. Talked through all of it. And I mean, I know Kaylee and the family really well from the recruiting process and just through time. But she had some distinct, questions that she wanted to have answered. And it was good. Had a great, very transparent conversation of how she fits. Obviously, we love her as a player, but she fits even more as a person in the locker room and with our group. And from that moment on, when we found out that she wants to stay and be a part of this, we said, hey, stop worrying about basketball. Go focus on more important things. And so, but yeah, that was a great conversation, and I think the outcome was good.
There was much rejoicing in Studio B.
Absolutely.
So with Kaylee eventually coming back, you have added quite a few players onto the roster.
Sure.
Most will be here a little bit later, but yeah. Maybe give everybody an idea of some of the roster additions that you have.
So we have a couple international girls that should be here shortly. We'll see how that plays out, but hopefully in the next 2 weeks they'll be here. With Bola and Lara, and Lara's out of the portal. Bola's a high school girl that's playing in Japan. And so they'll be here sooner than the others. And then we have some true high schools playing here in the States that will join us when they graduate and can come here. And we're excited about all of them joining us. And we kind of have decided to do the bulk of our workouts in the spring term. And that was kind of my decision. I want to see how it impacts us later in the season, in February and March, where we're at physically and mentally. You know, in the past, we've started in early June, and other than a couple weeks in August, kind of just all the way through. And our girls will continue training, but it won't be mandatory, right? So they'll have July and August to do as they please. Continue their work with their own trainers or here. That's not mandatory. And I think psychologically it just does a lot more for them. I've really felt in the past that we get to the end of February and there's a lot of and it shouldn't be, whether we've been really successful or not as successful, playing for a lot, I'm not playing for as much. Still the mental side of it has been really apparent. And I want to see what it does to them at the end of February mentally.
Fresh approach.
So we'll see.
Overall, how are you feeling about the roster right now?
Like the roster, I think we have a really cohesive group, which I'm kind of obsessed about as we kind of built this and as we put it together. Love the core that we have coming back. Feel like we're adding a great group, whether it's from the portal or the high school ranks. We're adding more than we probably want to year in and year out. I think it'll end up being around 7. But overall, feel like we have a good roster compilation of talent, of different roles, skill sets that complement who we have and who's coming in.
I want to ask you about some specific names,
okay.
Notably Sydney Benali.
Yeah.
who was a big-time recruit.
Yeah.
There's some Indian reservation ties there. Sure. Been watching her for a long time. What does she bring to BYU women's basketball?
Yeah, she's a complete player. She plays both sides of the ball. Comes from a great family. And it's funny because you start recruiting early and you see a kid and you're like, that kid can play, you know. And then you start thinking, who else is in? And it's like, then you see her the next year and it's like, don't discredit what your eyes saw, right? So she's going to be a key person for us this upcoming season. She can shoot it. She can guard it. She's going to never get tired. That's one thing that comes through really clear. She'll pick up all game long. She can beat her defender off the dribble and create for others. Very willing passer. Kind of a whole package, but just a competitor and a winner at the same time.
You feel like an immediate impact player?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how she phases in with the level. It's always an unknown there, but I don't anticipate her not coming in and making an impact.
The second player is Olivia Hamlin, the transfer.
Yeah, sure.
Well, sorry, she committed somewhere else, but now she's committed.
Yeah, she was committed to Nebraska.
Yeah,
got asked for a release, and she's coming here. Score. I think she's number two in the Utah State record books for scoring. That will be the first thing that jumps out for Cougar Nation. But she reminds me a lot of Jackson Emery on the defensive end.
Ooh.
Really has the instincts to get in passing lanes and just take it from straight, hey, you're going to pass it to me, I'm going to go lay it into the hoop. But can shoot it, can score, can get by her defender. Good athlete, great kid. Everybody that's coming is just fantastic human beings, and we're proud of that part of it.
All right, what can fans expect this year? What will they see different from this year's team that they should be excited about?
I think overall the competitive level of the group and the creativity of some of the girls that are either coming in or returning. I think Delaney Gibbs, a very creative player, and I think that's going to come through a lot more clear in this upcoming season. She'll have the ball in her hands a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you want her to be the primary ball handler?
She'll have a huge role in regards to scoring it, guarding it, passing it, creating it. But we have expectations for everybody to make a jump. And that's kind of our approach in the spring, is focusing more on the individual and helping them as individual players, and then as we get into the fall and into the official practice time, to then kind of change it over into the team, focus on the team. But you'll see jumps from some girls. Cougar Nation will be impressed with the physicality of some of the post players that we have coming in. We get a couple injured players in Mariah and Ari back, and they're looking great. And so just overall, great group, fun to see where it's going to go. And we're excited.
Well done. We appreciate you spending some time with us amidst your busy schedule. Yeah. Shout out to your wife, Sarah, and all your kids. Like, it's been a crazy time.
It's crazy. Hey, I was listening. I'm disappointed that Jimmer didn't mention one of his favorite memories.
He didn't mention you?
I served him bucket after bucket in the summer. Where was that in the memories? Come on, Jim.
We need to clip this and send it to Jimmer.
Jimmer, oh, yes.
It. Good point.
Yeah.
Lee, so great to have you with us.
Thanks, Lee.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
When we come back, more from you. What do you believe is Kevin Young's most impressive accomplishment in his first season? This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Today, what is the most impressive thing Kevin Young has accomplished as BYU's head coach of men's basketball thus far? At J. Nathan Anderson on X says, retaining air Richie Saunders. Twice!
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Twice.
Great point. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at TrueBlue 1984 BYU on X, who says, Sweet 16 with a makeshift roster, then landing the number one recruit and now top five overall recruiting class. It's more than one answer, but we'll allow it. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Ah, A.J. DeBonsa. He is on campus. He posted on TikTok yesterday from the Annex. It's real. It's not a dream, Spencer. He's here.
A.J. knocking down threes in the Annex and a nice little dance to go along with it.
And by the way, tune into BYU Sports Nation for our sit-down interview with him in studio Friday.
By the way, our friend Cougar Stats pointed out we are 187 days away from BYU's season opener in men's basketball against Villanova in Las Vegas.
So maybe a 186 countdown tomorrow?
Let's think about it.
Yeah.
All right. Throw it in.
I like it.
Our thanks to today's guests, Jimmer Fredette and Lee Kamard.
All right. All our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Trent Plaisted. Go Cougs.